Oh, hello, said Miss White. You're not dead, then? George shook his head. No thanks to you, you stupid cow, he said, chucking bloody great bits of glass at people. What do you want to go doing a thing like that for?
I was upset.
You're touched in the head, is what you are, George said. And it's all your fault. I ought to smash your face in.
Excuse me? What did I do?
George slumped down with his back to a tree trunk. Me getting stuck here, you daft bitch, he said. You heard what the man said? Border closed, stuck in this god-awful place forever and ever.
Ah, that.
Yeah, that. Then I was safe on the other side. Never even occurred to me those lunatics would vote leave.
He shook his head.
So I just nipped back for 5 minutes to kick your teeth in for trying to kill me, and guess what? I'm stranded. Thank you ever so much.
Ms. White gave him a sad smile.
It's just not your day, is it?
You could say that.
Still, he shifted uncomfortably, as though something was irritating him. Always make the best of things is my motto.
Positive thinking, said Miss White. Excellent.
So, since I'm stuck in this shithole, I may as well take it over.
At which point, Miss White saw what was wrong with him. Sticking out of the back of his neck, roughly where the spine runs up into the head, was a splinter of glass, deeply embedded. There should have been blood, of course, lots of it, but there wasn't. I wonder if he knows about that, Miss White thought. And then she remembered. There had been something distinctly odd about that mirror.
Oh, she thought.
He was talking to her. I'll need someone I can rely on, he was saying, on the inside. Someone who knows how to handle these freaks. And it's either that, or I have you buried alive in an anthill. So I'm guessing you won't need too long to reach a decision. Well?
Sorry, Miss White said.
What was that?
Try and pay attention, will you? Here's the deal. You work for me or your ant food.
Hence the expression, she thought. He's got eyes in the back of his head. Only, in this case, I, singular. Oh dear.
Out of interest, she said. How are you planning on doing it?
Taking over, I mean. You see, there's an awful lot of them, and they've got weapons.
That made George chuckle. They ain't got one of these.
He reached inside his coat and pulled out a little wooden box.
Three guesses.
Chocolates? Flowers? A very small coffin?
He shook his head. Neutron bomb, he said. And the boss goblin knows all about it because I had a couple of my boys explain it to him. I don't think there'll be any trouble on that score.
Miss White's eyes were very big and round.
That's yes, George said smugly. And if I'd had any sense, I'd have let the damn thing off ages ago and saved myself all this aggravation.
Too soft-hearted, that's always been my problem.
Now, he added, getting to his feet,
let's go and see some people. We'll start with that dwarf of yours, King Drain. I'm sure he'll be reasonable, once you've talked to him.
This is silly, she thought. He wouldn't do it. Not because killing every living thing in the realms would bother him very much, provided he had a nuke-proof shelter to
to cower in while the actual dying took place. And he'd got one. She'd happily bet on that. But because total vacant possession wouldn't be in his interests, nobody to fetch and carry for him, clean the windows, scrub the floors, grow food, all that stuff. He's bluffing. An inch of razor-sharp glass, driven into his neck more or less where they got Trotsky with the ice pick, and he was still talking and walking about, and no blood. He might be bluffing, or he might not, and it might not be up to him any more. Nuts, she thought.